flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times.
Impressive.
As opposed to once.
Welcome to the UPHCA Pipeline Podcast, where issues, concerns, legislative news, and anything and everything about the plumbing and HVAC industry will be discussed. Guests will provide insight into who they are and their role in the industry. We're excited to offer this service to our trade industry. Our guest today is Corey Brown of CPI or Chaparral Plumbing. Welcome, Corey. I appreciate you being here.
Okay, thank you.
So, Corey, tell me a little bit about Chaparral Plumbing and how you got started with them.
I was actually doing residential plumbing, and one of my friends was actually working here, and they offered me a job, and I came here to the commercial, jumped right in head first into the commercial. I had no clue what I was doing, and it just kind of took off from there, and I've been here for 30-plus years.
Okay, now I know that John Walker, the owner or past owner, you're transitioning in ownership, are you not?
Yeah, he's still the majority owner.
Okay, but he's pretty much retired and enjoying life, is that right?
Well, he still works when I need things, when I'm overflowed with stuff, and we need somebody to do some bidding, and him and Joyce still has a great impact on the company for what they do, you know, helping us out, so.
Excellent, okay. Well, John has been a mainstay in the industry and in the association for I don't know how long, so that's good to hear that he's still active and involved. Corey, what type of services does CPI offer? Is it residential, commercial, industrial? Give us a little bit of a rundown.
We're basically a commercial ran company. We've dabbled in the residential, the service. We have a little bit of service we do, but that's just for loyal customers that I think every company has. Industrial is just not our favorite thing to try to do. So.
Okay, so you're basically in offices?
Yeah, 4 or 5-story buildings, tilt buildings, anything that's strip malls to malls to not anything else out there.
Okay.
So we've done UPSs, FedExes, and diesel mechanic places. We've done all kinds of things.
Okay, great. What are some of the challenges that you seem to be facing in your trade industry right now?
Well, I'm not sure which one's right at the top of my list right now besides labor and material. The cost of material, the labor shortage of people still sleeping in grandma's basement, I think. But I think that might be the top ones.
Okay. Let's get to know a little bit about Corey. What type of things do you like? Do you like to read? What's your favorite movie? Give us some background on who Corey is.
I think my biggest thing is podcasts. I do a lot of that to try to calm down at nighttime from a fast-paced lifestyle. I love podcasts, and so I listen to a lot of books and a lot of podcasts. That's basically my Friday night reading habits, just to calm down. And I like hearing everybody's podcast. That's why I jumped all over this, to have a voice on a podcast and inspire people to on their businesses.
Well, I appreciate that. This is our third one, and you can subscribe to the podcast by just looking on any of your platforms, UPHCA Pipeline. So what made you decide to get into plumbing?
Well, I had a bad job in the early 90s when the construction started ramping up. Pretty much just asked me if I wanted a job. I had no idea. I was young and got in it, making $5 an hour, had no clue what plumbing was, except when you turn the faucet on and off. So it kind of just found me, I guess.
Interesting. Okay. Give us some of your insights into your company as far as what do you enjoy doing, what do you least like doing?
Well, I guess we always pick the worst. I hate timelines and deadlines.
Schedules, okay.
I told everybody when I retire that I will be on my own schedule and no one will tell me what time to be there.
That's good.
So I've not had enough of deadlines. You know, we have the bids that we have to have, and there's a time and a date, and there's all the inspections, and everything's just this time of day. I want to stop the watch. Yeah, that's my least favorite. My favorite is that I love seeing our apprentices come up and see them grow. I mean, I taught over at Slick, you know, Salt Lake Community College. I taught over there for 5 years, and first year, that was one of my things to give back to the plumbing industry is to go teach. And I did that and enjoyed the heck out of it. My favorite is probably watching these guys grow and become master plumbers.
That's cool. All right. When you taught out there at Slick, what type of things did you observe from the new apprentices coming into the program? Did they really know what they were doing, or was it just, I'm going to give this a try?
I think I have both. Less of a mix that they don't know what they're doing. or they had no clue. They all were pretty well motivated. Even though it was first year, they were motivated enough to, hey, I'm going to be a plumber. You know, not all of them make it. It was always a plus thing. Only had one or two maybe in a year that did make it out of 17 guys.
Okay. You mentioned supply and manpower, and do you see that supply line getting any better, or is it still a dog-eat-dog market?
Well, I hope it don't turn into an 08, and that was just because of financial, and I hope that doesn't have the effect of supplies, if that makes any sense. I hope our supplies keep coming because people have to go out and work and produce our stuff. The stuff is getting harder to come by. I think everybody's stock is running short. And COVID did a big thing that's crushed a lot of people.
Do you see a lot of pressure with pricing and so forth right now with inflation being in the news? Do you see that causing trouble in the trade?
Well, yeah, it's going to do something, is my opinion. The news says that we're like at 9%, and I can see our material at 40%. So I don't know what those people are talking about. I know my grocery bills. I don't like media, so yeah, I'm not a fan of them.
Okay. You mentioned manpower and supplies, but in the next 5 years, where do you see the plumbing industry, the challenges, maybe the upside to the industry over the next 5 years?
We'll be trying to repair our nation, what's going on with it. I think it's going to put a freeze on. I mean, construction's up and down. It's a roller coaster is what I call it. It's feast or famine. And if everybody remembers 08, and I surely do, memory's the biggest thing to have in business is a memory. So,
that's for sure.
I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but I don't see it looking too well. I've already heard residential slowing down. I mean, that's what happened in 07. They slowed down, then they hit in 08, and it slowed down. So our interest rates are going up. That's going to stop everybody from getting the cheap money. So,
what do you think we can do to influence young people to consider the trades in general? And of course, plumbing specifically, but get more people into the trade.
We sit down twice a year on the board, me and you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think we're still trying to figure out that. And my thing is that parents set high goals for their kids, that they need to be a lawyer, a doctor, or something that's over their head. And I'm not saying plumbing is the easiest thing in the world, but mechanical-wise, we've got a bunch of kids that these are mechanical people, and they're brilliant with things. I got some guys that are very great with their hands. And so some of these kids, when they go into these colleges, it's just pushed one way. And we just need to be there and have our grandstand to say, over here, man, pays good. So made a great career for me.
An observation I've made over the last several years, the state has pushed the university, you must go to an established university, and that tide is turning to look at more of the trade technical certificates and apprenticeships and so forth. The industry as a general is coming together. We've had a couple of meetings where we're trying to enlist the state's help in trying to be more proactive, more marketing the trades. Do you see that that would have an influence, not only, as you mentioned, in the parents, but also with kids?
Well, yeah, I think even with this podcast that you started up, anything that you could market, I know that you have the workshop that goes over here, that's done over here at the Expo Center.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name, but you're right. Yeah, it brings all the kids in the valley together to look at different.
And I've been guilty of not getting over there myself and helping out with that part. And I need to get off my butt and go over there, because that's the only way that we can get these kids when they're straight out of high school, instead of being just in a grocery store bagging something, that they could become a career in the electrical, the plumbing, the heating, and make good money. Because not everybody's for those books in school. So
you brought up the point with, again, going back to your experience at being an instructor at SLIC. Do you feel that the schools in the aspect of the trades, do you feel like we're kind of stuck in a rut as far as how we teach? Is there a better alternative? Because really, a lot of the teaching comes from hands-on experience, but there is some book learning. Is there, in your mind's eye, a better way to teach the youth of today?
How I got in, probably shouldn't say, but I got into my classes, and the guys that were teaching me, I just had one teacher that just, I felt like I didn't learn anything. And that's what I got into teaching. After I went through my 4 years, got my journeyman's license, and then started the business and got my master's, then I gave back, I wanted to go teach school. So I made it a point that, man, when you walk out of my class, you're going to know everything that I was supposed to teach in that semester. I had guys in my class go, you get so much homework. And I go, well, go to that class then if it's too hard. But I wanted those guys to know that I gave every bit of it. When they open that code book, they'd know where that answer was. And that's what I pushed and pushed, is to be able to open that code book and you be able to find it or memorize it. So that's my way. And I don't know if that's the correct way with the younger guys, but I had a good turnaround in my class. They had good grades. I've had a few text me back and tell me thank you after they graduated. Well, after they passed a journeyman. And that was 3 years, 4.5 years later that I'd get text by them. And that felt great.
I bet it did. What do you think is the hardest topic in that first year that kids have, toughest thing for them to learn?
I covered basic history because it's a long chapter of history. It starts clear back to the Romans and anything to do with the modern day plumbing, how it came up. So, I mean, that's a long one. I think they all wondered why we had to do that. But it gives you an insight that, you know, one time we were bathing all the time, and in almost 200 years, they didn't let the Romans and they stopped bathing, you know.
Right.
So, it's just history that you can go on YouTube and that's modern marvel. Get great hour-long thing on plumbing system. And they got plumbing system and history. So it's a great thing for the kids, but maybe it's a little boring, interest to some. But I think math has always been everybody's kicker.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if math is kind of the challenge for the kids to understand.
What do we use in a field and what they have to learn? It's it's probably that we're overdoing on the math.
Interesting. Okay. Just one last question that I ask all our guests so far is, who has been the most influential person or persons in your life that have made the difference?
I've seen that question. And this morning I wrote down what my picture would be hanging on my wall. It'd be my family. It'd be my mom and dad, my wife and kids. If I'm going to have anybody that influenced me to who I am. You can read things and see things on TV or whatever else that influenced you or whatever through your life. But to have somebody directly in front of you, I have to give credit to my mom and dad.
Very good. I appreciate that. Well, Corey, thank you very much for being part of our Pipeline podcast. Our audience, we'd appreciate your feedback and suggestions of people who would like to hear from future podcasts. Please send an email to dave@uphca.net. Finally, I'd just like to share a quote at the end of the podcast. One that I found for this podcast is from Walt Disney. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. Have a great day. Thank you.
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times.
Impressive.
As opposed to once.